You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area. As always, I ask that you go to your telephone right now, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860. And if you live outside the Philadelphia and tri-state area, you can listen live or to our rebroadcast from the links that are located on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And I encourage you to check out all the links on that front page. You'll really be pleased with what they have to offer. Thanks to everyone that contacts others about our broadcast. If you received an email this morning announcing today's program, why don't you email it to another person so that we'll get more people involved? Well, it's November 25th, and it's almost unbelievable to think that Thanksgiving is here. We'll be gathering with family members and friends and getting all ready for Christmas and gift-giving and holiday cheer and the new year. Well, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, I'd like to take this opportunity to first thank our panel members, Mark Andel, who, as you know, is the founder of the Made in America store, a great individual who's been working on this project for a long time, who has been helping to keep his part of the deal at the American Made in America store. And Made in America is one of his biggest campaigns. And Mark, you've done a wonderful job at it. I also want to thank Larkin Connolly, who is the East Coast Vice President of SCORE. Many people have met Larkin during his days in Philadelphia at some of our events. We'll have more of those public events coming up in the new year, so we hope that Larkin will be able to join us at those events as well. And then there's RJL Technology Integration and the very famous Rich Loges. Boy, he's famous, and you should see him with his cowboy hat. I was really impressed with that. It was really something. And then on this eve of Thanksgiving, Henry Chaplinsky is behind the board having his coffee and enjoying himself, and hopefully we'll have some good laughs. Thank you, Henry, for all of your efforts to make sure the show gets out to the people now, as well as all of our precasts, aftercasts, and rebroadcasts. Being on 7 days a week is a pretty rough situation, and 10 hours a week of broadcasting is a lot of time, and you have to make sure that everything is done in a timely manner. I'm Michael Blihash, as you know. FCC tells me that I have to announce that from time to time because people could tune in, a stranger could tune in and hear the conversation and say, who is that saying that? Who made that statement? So that's why I try to identify everybody. And of course, when you go on the front page of American Workers Radio, you see the members of the panel up on the front of the page, so you're able to know exactly who they are. Well, as you know, a lot of businesses are really going to depend on each and every one of you to go out and support them during this Thanksgiving weekend. Friday is Black Friday. Make sure it's also the day you go out and look at labels. Saturday is Small Business Saturday. Make sure you go out and support all of your small businesses. They're certainly depending on you. I noticed in my travels and in a few meetings that I've been to over the last week that some of the big advertisers are promoting the big box stores and the items that they have to offer. Well, how about let's promote some of the small stores? Let's go out on Small Business Saturday and Black Friday with the intent of looking at the labels and making sure that the people behind the counters know that you're a supporter of American Made. We're not trying to do anything more in the USA, but restore our economy to a 50-50 balance of everything that is sold in the country is made in the country. I don't know how we got to the point where we're 90 and 95% and sometime 100% in some items that they're all foreign made now. Items, many of them, that were invented in America, made in America for their early years and up until maybe the 1978 and 81 period, 82, many of the places started to change around. So we got to do something. We see that national leaders are not really leading the cause for jobs in America. So people like us, Mark, number one, number two is Rich Loges and Larkin Connolly, and all of you, your message to your store owner is more important than you can ever imagine. Thanksgiving is another opportunity for you to sit with family and just make a mention to the fact that you're supporting American Made this year. And in fact, this year, someone asked me what special gift I was giving for Christmas. I said, well, I'm going to give my usual smaller gifts, American Made. And this year, I'm going to include a small American flag. They can put it on their Christmas tree and their poinsettia, whatever, just to bring attention to themselves and their family and friends that visit that this is a household that's supporting American Made. Mark, how can we ask you to welcome everybody on this very special day before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, this is a very special day. Mike, our panel, Rich, Larkin, Henry, and all the listeners, happy Thanksgiving, because this is a time you want to remember family and friends and be close to the ones you love. And, you know, it's funny, I walked by my wife, our friends gave us a domestic turkey. It was supposed to be 25 pounds. It's 40 pounds. So we got some good food to eat tomorrow. Mike, we are getting our stores ready to go because Black Friday to Christmas is the time to make a difference in this country. If you believe in Made in America Matters, I mean, Black Friday to Christmas, them 30 or 28 days are everything to retailers, manufacturers. And I just want our listeners to realize you want to give back. It's a perfect time of year to really make change by your purchase because the purchase helps the retailer, helps the manufacturer. It really seals the deal on what we do all year long. So, Mike, we're filling our stores. We've got 6 outlets open, ready to go. We're giving everybody off tomorrow for Thanksgiving. The first time, you know, we tried that Black Friday, but we said, you know, let everybody have their last meal, and then we'll see them again on Christmas, our workers, you know. So, we're ready to go, though. Friday, we're excited up here in Western New York.
Well, listen, and all of you that are listening, make sure you spread the word and let everyone know that they can check out madeinamericastore.com, and Mark has a lot of his items there. If you know people up in the Buffalo area, they've all seen the signs, Made in America Store. Make sure you tell them that you're a supporter, you live far away. Make sure they get into one of Mark's stores in the mall or his home store. But do support one another during this very special time of year because it's the way we have to do it. We are leading the charge. When I said last week that many of the businesses don't like our message, I really meant that because some people said, oh, you're just continuing to look at labels and all. I said, no, I'm for imported products, but I'm for domestic products as well. I want 50-50. There's no reason for you to get upset with the message. You know, we want everybody to be treated with dignity. And Rich, what would you add to our opening message?
So guys, good morning. First off, Michael, I have to apologize to everyone and our listeners that if my cell phone service is not good for this show, because I'm not in my office at the moment, I apologize for that. I have AT&T, and I just want to tell you, AT&T's coverage sucks in South Florida. Just want to make that clear in case AT&T is listening. Just because a celebrity or an athlete tries to sell you on buying a cellular product or any product for that matter. Oh, I tell everybody, be an educated consumer, buyer beware. So just a quick right up front apology, Michael. I was sorry to have missed last week, but I was attending a trade show that was sponsored by one of my main suppliers, Ingram Micro, who actually is based up in Mark's neck of the woods, not too far from Buffalo. And I had an opportunity, Michael, to meet dozens of small business owners at this show. And the good news is that the majority of them weren't my competition. Inevitably, I wind up at these shows sometimes, and you know, most of the people I meet are my competition. So I make sure to put my bar tab on their hotel room when I see them. But in this case, the majority of the companies I met were small business owners. And also, guys, you know, if your ears were ringing last week, there's a reason for this. It's because I was talking a lot about our panel, about the people we've had on the show who are partners of ours, from Jim Austin to Mike Sessions. And I always say, guys, there are two groups of voters whom I really think, in particular, and this isn't to exclude any group, this is the problem with the two-party government system, Michael. Groups get pandered to more than others. But having said that, there are two groups I always say to people, talk to veterans and small business owners. Because veterans and small business owners, Michael, they got their thumb on the pulse of what's happening economically. And the message that reverberated throughout this show was that we have to get this country back to work. We have to. 94.5 million people out of the job force. You have people who work who are on public assistance to help support their livelihoods, which are funded by taxes. There is no government pays for this and government pays for that. There's no such thing as this. Government doesn't have anything. It has to get from sources of revenue like taxes to pay for those things. And of course, Michael, from a perhaps selfish business perspective, getting the country back to work helps to position small business owners to go and pursue additional opportunities. It creates more opportunity for our jail. It creates more opportunity for what we do, for what Mark does. It creates more potential business owners for Larkin to sit down with, for Mike Sessions and his Go for USA app. There's more potential product. Creates the opportunities. This is one of the things that resonated at this show. And we talked a lot about just the state of affairs. And many of the business owners I met, Michael, I want to tell you this. They're Americans who are from other countries. And those men and women have a perspective that just doesn't get talked about enough in the mainstream media. It just doesn't. So I'm sorry I missed last week, but the show itself gave me a great deal of encouragement that small business, we know this already, but it just further affirmed it. Small business is the way to go to get people back to work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, you know, Rich, as you're speaking about that, it's reported that in the last 12 years, 100,000 businesses closed or downsized in America, mainly because some foreign merchandiser came in and sold this company the idea it was better to move overseas and get rid of all the aggravation. Now, a good number of them have, you know, reconsidered, and they had their contracts for 5 years, 7 years, and they want to come back home. But one thing they don't want to come back home to is a corporate tax that will kill them. Because right now, people are going through rising expenses of operating their businesses. They're going, if they're giving health care to their employees, that is rising. And that, you know, just the general taxes for their local community is one thing. Then the corporate taxes, the government corporate taxes, just has run out a lot of companies from this whole place. Now, you take, for instance, we just heard that Pfizer, the drug company, is moving out of the country because of corporate taxes. Someone came in. A merchandiser came in and told them they could benefit greatly by moving out, uniting two or three companies, and instantly get a 40% profit, additional profit of 40%. Now, that's a lot of money, 40%. So you feel that when you have investors, they have to be rewarded. So that was the decision they made. Also, Burger King moved to Canada. You heard about that, I'm sure. They moved to Canada to avoid the corporate taxes and avoid the affordable health care and all that stuff. So here we are talking about opening businesses, and major businesses are still sneaking out the back door but groups like us are bringing attention to them. And Mark, I want to just add here while I have it in my mind, your Rolling Springs company, Roaring Springs,
yes,
paper company, I did make contact with them. And in fact, I want it to be known, and I will follow up on this. Of course, they told me that, you know, they have to talk to the proper authorities. The person who is in charge of the Senate district in that area, his name is Senator John Eichelberger. And his office is being contacted as soon as this budget in Pennsylvania is finished. I made a call personally. And in fact, I left a message for three individuals at the place. And I hope that someone will get back to me, because nobody wants to talk about a situation like this. But I did contact Lori Deal. You may have heard that name, Mark. Amy Lewis and Lance Allen. I want to tell you a little something about the Roaring Springs Paper Company. They celebrated their 125th anniversary in Roaring Springs, Pennsylvania, in 2012. They have a total population in the county where the place is located, Blair County, where Senator John Eichelberger is the person in charge of the Senate district there. The whole county has a population, according to the census, of 2,585 people. Get it? So they cannot afford to lose one job in that area. Now, I called very nicely, and I got, and anybody can call Roaring Springs Paper Company direct and just ask them, you know, you heard that you're thinking of moving all or a portion of your product line out of the USA. Well, I have to tell you, nobody wants to own up. Nobody knows anything. You have to call back this and that. But I left a few messages. The names of the people, again, are Lori Deal, Amy Lewis, and Lance Allen. Hopefully one of them will call me back and we'll be able to discuss it. Once I find out exactly what is happening, I will contact myself, Senator John Eichelberger, who represents that Altoona area of Pennsylvania. Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to give you that update so I don't forget. And on the phone with us is the very famous Larkin Connolly. Larkin, my man, how are you doing on this day before Thanksgiving?
I'm wonderful, Michael. Very, very good. Thank you. I apologize for my lateness, but I was out doing some prescribed honeydews, honeydew this, honeydew that, and got kind of stuck out there trying to hurry back. But happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Rich, I imagine he's on, and Mark, Henry, Michael.
Yeah, Rich is going to wear his Thanksgiving cowboy hat to his all his events. He's going to go to the stores. In fact, Rich, that is a great way. If you're going out shopping on Black Friday, and I know you like to go out shopping on Small Business Saturday, walk in with that hat. That will certainly bring you attention. In fact, if you have, put an American flag somewhere on the side of the hat. They'll bring attention to, wow, who is this guy coming in with this hat, number one, in Florida? And secondly, why is he wearing that American hat? Which you can get those small, you know, those little guys. So Larkin, we were talking about going out and supporting our businesses, because small business is really where it is.
There's no question of that. And I heard you talking about Roaring Springs, and I'll have you know I wrote them right after Mark sent out his email. I dropped them a line and told him how unfortunate I thought it was that they found it necessary to make that kind of move and to throw a handful of American workers out of work. And, of course, I heard nothing. So.
No, and I gave a few messages, because before I call Senator John Eichelberger, who is the representative in that area, I wanted to get, you know, some response from a person in the company. But no one has responded to me, maybe because you know, they're discussing it. They don't want to say what's what. Possibly some of the employees don't even know what's going on. That's something that came to my mind as I was talking with the one gentleman. He said, well, I don't really know how to help you there. You would have to talk to somebody, you know, in the main office. And I said, well, can you push me through? And I did go through, and then an operator comes on, an electronic message, you've reached the Roaring Springs Paper Company. Press this, that, the directory, the whole deal. Mark, try it out for yourself. You'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. And if any listener or friend of a listener is up there in Roaring Springs, Pennsylvania, make sure you let the people there know that that is supposedly going to happen to a company that's been in business for 125 or 127 years at this point. So let's see what we can do. And this is a perfect example. Just like in Philadelphia, Mark, we did, and Larkin, and we did aggravate the Nabisco company about closing their plant on the boulevard in Northeast Philadelphia, not far from where we are, 10 miles away. They had a contract, a bidder came in already to tell them how much better it's going to be made in Mexico, how much cheaper, how much profit, blah, 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 how many corporate dollars are going to be saved and this and that. And they took the Oreos and the Ritz crackers and other products down to Mexico to be made. They have few still made in America, but most of them are out. But I really think, Larkin, you tell me if this is something you would agree. I think that those crackers and cookies should have a tariff on them.
Well, you know, a significant percentage of the time, tariffs don't work because some rogue retailers use them to, you know, raise prices and kind of create a monopoly environment with their products. So, you know, properly controlled, it works. I don't think there's any question. And I think American-made products need that kind of protection anymore. So I agree with you on a kind of a couched basis, just so it doesn't get out of control. Sometimes it does.
Because I see that local distributors of cookies and all, this may be an opportunity for them to expand, put their cookies on the market. But unfortunately, they don't have the big dollars that a Nabisco would have to put their packaging and do advertising and push themselves in a bigger way. But I do hope that smaller cracker makers and cookie makers can get into the market, get shelving space, and put their products on market, because I'll be the first one to promote them.
Yep. Agreed.
Rich, tell us also, what was the outcome of the meeting that you had last week? Were the people there concerned about the jobs in America situation?
Well, a couple of things, Michael. Regarding the hat, I just walked around Nashville saying I'm a Yankee who lives in Miami wearing a hat in Nashville. So that's how I walked around the whole city for 3 days with that hat on. And when I went and purchased it, I went right to the lady. Mark, I thought exactly about you at this moment. And all the people who were doing everything related to American made goods, like Mike Sessions, Mark, you guys. I walked up to the lady and I said, I want a hat, I want a black hat, or I want an American made hat. I'm not partial where in the U.S. it's made, but it needs to be made here. So she put one in my hands, and it was, guys, I got to tell you, it was really nice, but it was a little out of my budget. So I said, well, I need something a little more cost effective. And I want to tell you guys, she put one in my hand, the one that you saw. I went, and just out of curiosity, I looked at some of the imports, and they were made in a variety of different countries. And I'm going to tell you guys this, the cost differential, negligible. It really was. It wasn't a 50, 60, 80% savings purchasing what I did. And I insisted it be American made. As far as the people I met, Michael, there is, and I think that this anxiety has been in place already. And I think that it's growing among small business owners, because the ones I met as much as they love what they do, many of them have had success. When so many business owners are saying the same things over and over about feeling like they're getting squeezed out, feeling like one regulation on top of another, the cheap labor game that we all get pushed into. If one or two say it, you dismiss it maybe. When it seems like virtually everyone you talk to is saying it, not in a sour grapes and not in a whining kind of way, but just in an economic small business kind of way. When you've got so many saying it, Michael, where there's smoke, there's fire. And the issues that businesses have, sometimes we have similar ones. Sometimes we have ones that are very unique to our industry. I mean, Larkin, you know this as well as any of us do, because you get a variety of prospective inspiring small business owners come in, and you've got to deal with a lot of external factors that are out of our control within the industry, within the economy. So some of the people I met, Michael, they do have challenges hiring capable and qualified workers. And that's always a good indicator generally of how the economy's doing. I mean, when there's a job listing for a year and thousands of people apply and no one's hired, then what it says is that we've got to get the workforce into, first of all, we got to get the people in the workforce to get more work experience, more small business creation. So instead of having a job listing for a year, they get a lot of applicants, but they also get a lot of applicants who would be capable and good fits for that job. And then you make the workforce more mobile and more thriving. So small business feels this. And it doesn't mean, Michael, that, you know, there are companies I met who are not small businesses. And interestingly, they said some of the similar and same things as the small business owners did. So it's not relegated just to us collectively as small business owners. A lot of the bigger companies I met, some of whom are publicly traded companies, saying some of the similar things. So if we're going to start with an issue, and this is a point I want to make also, which Larkin can respond to this if you'd like, because I listened to the show last week. And Larkin brought up Trump on the show. And I'll tell you guys what the sentiment was up to this point from a lot of the business owners I met. Remember in school we learned about the Rorschach test, where they show you an image and then you say, what does it look like? And I know some of our classmates, they saw some dirty stuff on that stuff. I know that. But the bottom line is we saw some things. Well, that's what's happening with business owners, I think, and people in general with Trump and business. I think there's a great deal of people, Larkin, who don't really care for the guy personally. They may not love him. They may not like him. But the question is, why is there this constant and stable popularity? And I'm not giving this statement as a yay or nay toward Trump. I'm not saying here and now I will or will not vote for him. I'm just making what I think is a political observation. Those who have wanted a two-party system have to live with the results of it. And this is our test right now. This is our test economically and politically. Now, what happens with Trump 3-4 months from now after the primaries? You know, guys, that remains to be seen. But this is what I think is happening with so many people who are small business owners and basically pissed off independents and conservatives. You know, they're looking at the two-party system, and maybe they don't vote Democrat, and maybe they don't like the rhinos, right? The Republican in name only, Democrat whites. And then what's left? So this stuff that's happening now, we've got a confluence of events, guys, that is just affirming what I've said. We're living in historic times right now. But please talk to our prospective fellow voters to make sure that we come out on the right side of history.
Yes, you're right. You're right, Guy. And, you know, Rich, I'm going to go on the major campaign again in the new year to get people to register to vote. The last campaign, we got a good number of new voters to replace those who retired, passed away, left the country, whatever. And we have to do that again this time. To answer something that you just mentioned, Rich, and Larkin, I'll ask you to speak up, and Mark, too. The reason Trump, everywhere I go, people like Trump, is he's saying one particular thing, is we're going to bring jobs back to America. To Americans, having a job is a badge of honor. Having to go to some person and talk about your problems. I have no money and this and that. People don't want to do that in America. Americans are very proud of who they are. And when Trump gets up there and I don't care what happens, we're bringing jobs back to America. I would like to see more of the candidates. In fact, every candidate have nothing but one particular debate devoted to nothing but how they're going to bring jobs back to America. That's what we need. With that, half of our problems are solved. And then the second big thing, which we've talked about, and I want to compliment again, because boy, have we gotten a lot of hits. They have it on the front page of their site. I want to thank Ray Vaccari, Michael Marchetti, and Ian Trammell from the New Jersey Manufacturing Talent Network and Dream It, Do It, because they did, and Mecca Force, they did a lot of good work by telling the people that there are programs out there, but it's a struggle to get them before the eyes of the taxpayers and before the eyes of the elected people. So it's little guys like us, little voices like ours that have to grow. Now, what Trump did is he came into the picture. He started about the immigration situation first and foremost. And then he started to say, I've created tens of thousands of jobs in my 250 businesses. And I am used to creating jobs. I understand why some of the businesses that I've turned over to other operations are failing, because it's too many obligations, too much health care issues, too much taxes. That's what the people want to hear. And by the way, before I go to Larkin for his spin on this, I want to say that we have to tell the American people more about what it costs to operate a business. Most people still believe, when you talk to them, they say, oh, these stores are making plenty of money. Look at all the money they're taking in the cash register. When I hear that, I say, yes, but don't forget, they have to have the cost of the goods. They have to pay the rent, the lights, the health insurance, and all the other stuff. And then they make a profit. Now, do you agree with that, Mark?
Oh, absolutely, Mike. I want to say it's not just Thanksgiving here up in Western New York. It's the beginning of a hunting season, and we spent the last 4 days with our group and camaraderie at the camp, and my father is at camp about an hour away from us. But on top of the hill by us, I ran into the Amish, and Mike, the Amish are pretty neat people. They got to get the milk up by 8 o'clock, or else that's his responsibility. They pick it up, and just talking with them a little bit, and I had told them they're not Amish are pretty darn smart if you get to talk to them. And he was funny. The guy had known I owned the stores, and I was really surprised. And he said, how many you got? I said, 8 of them. I said, no, we're pretty busy. He said, boy, you must be. But I said, well, we're saving the country one made in America product at a time. He goes, boy, you're going to be tired. Then saving the country is going to take a lot of work, So I'm laughing. But it matters so much. Mike, you talked about corporate taxes early, what you got to pay. Rich, you touched on cost of sale, the difference of the hats. I was personally in Nashville within a month ago, and I went to every boot place. I was looking for a pair of boots, cowboy boots, for myself. And I picked on them, and there was probably, I would say, Rich, 25, 40% made in America. And like you said, the prices range, and everybody has to watch that dollar. But I think the importance, that can-do spirit, where we're going, Mike, to make a dollar, a lot of people just don't grab. Rich, you're in business, and Larkin, you teach this at Capital. I just came to within an hour ago from signing another loan, signing my life away more. But that capital, to make a dollar, the cost of the sale and how much it takes to make $1, and then they're basically going to take 40 to 50% in taxes away of the $1 you make. And a lot of people don't grab how hard it is these days in business. So, again, the importance of this holiday season to the retailer, it's everything. All year you wait for these last 5-6 weeks to make that dollar. But I think sometimes I wonder, too, if our colleges teach entitlement. And, Rich, I wanted you to, kind of talk about this a little when I'm done. But, entitlement, we lost that can-do spirit. You got to be hungry. You got to have drive. And you got to not want somebody to give you the dollar. You got to want to work for the dollar. So what's your take on that, Rich? Sometimes these colleges, I think these younger kids, they come out with a different attitude than I think America was built on.
Well, Mark, I'll tell you this. First off, I graduated college 15 years ago. And when I look at what's happening around the country right now, I give thanks to God that I graduated and went to college when I did. Because right now, I'd probably be considered a communist. on most college campuses. I mean, some of the students and their professors are so radical that they think communists are right-wing conservatives. Now, that's not true of all colleges and universities. I want to be very clear about this. It's not fair. It's never fair to generalize one group as all good or all bad. But just do a news search with colleges and their aiding and abetting professors. They're afraid to get their feelings hurt, and they don't want to have a 9/11 memorial because it might offend Muslims on the campus. And these guys vote, guys. They vote. That, Mark, those are your future potential employees and my potential employees of the future. You've got to get toughened up. I mean, that's kind of my answer to you, Mark, about this. You know, I'm a pro-education. Look, I'm as pro-education a person as anybody, Michael, who will come on this show.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now all of the conversations we've had about student debt and all of these things, these are separate issues. But exposure to different ideas, meeting of different people, the ability to kind of find yourself, these are things that colleges help. It doesn't mean you can't do that outside of college. College is not for everybody. We know this. We know this. We know this because we view college, I think, a little less as a business and a little more as a life experience, which I'm not going to put down life experience. But I'm just glad that when I went to college, I wasn't coddled and nurtured and protected from feelings and thoughts that might offend me. No, I went – I mean, you guys probably don't know – Henry knows this, our audio engineer. I went and fought our administration over what I viewed as censorship. Okay, I helped to make national news because our college censored a student newsletter because of an objective word. So this isn't a new phenomenon. Political correctness is not a new phenomenon, but I'm telling you guys that it's advancing past simple political correctness. And there is a growing group of people in our country, a growing group, who simply don't view the Constitution as an inconvenience. They view it as obstacles to legislating our thoughts, our acts, our behaviors, what we watch, what we think, what we eat, real Orwellian crap. And you know where one of the breeding grounds for it is, Mark? A lot of colleges and universities. That's a fact.
I agree. I believe myself that a lot of what's happening in America has been done by design because leaders have just ignored what's happening in the colleges. They give the money, but they have no rules and regs as to what's happening at the end result with the money. You give somebody a dollar, you want to know what the dollar was for. We're giving the money to the colleges, and yet they come up with some great statistics that the grade average on this and that went back, but they have not gone back and looked. What happens to a student after they're out of college for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, or what they're using their time for in college? Is it benefiting them? And that's where the problem is. And that's why I am very pleased that in the new year, I'm going to try to work more with people like the New Jersey Talent Network and get Dr. Shaminsky back and Walt Yakubowski and all of them. My happy Thanksgiving to all of you, too. And see what we can do to give ideas. I think this election, Larkin, has to be where people give the ideas to the candidates, not the candidates just feed us the same crap as always.
Well, you know, people ask me a lot because they know I'm a political junkie, you know, who I'm supporting for president. And my answer typically is, who cares? Why do you care who I'm going to vote for? Why do I care who anybody's going to vote for?
I agree.
Why do I care who the next president is going to be? Seriously, all politics is local. The heck with the national election. It gets all of the press because it's great fodder and it makes good print and it's good television. But this is one job out of thousands and thousands of political jobs. You want to make a change? You want to affect a change? Elect the governor who's going to run your state properly. Elect the state senators and the state congressional candidates. What happens in Washington, they've proven to us that they are absolutely inept. The worst news I have heard in months and months and months is that that Pfizer, a company that my sister-in-law was an executive vice president of HR at, merged with Allergan. What is the first decision they made in this merger? To move to Ireland.
Is that right?
They're gone. Pfizer is gone to Ireland. The largest pharmaceutical company in the universe.
Lowest
has
tax.
Left
tax,
Connecticut
right?
and New York and headed for Ireland. Now, the president's not going to stop that. Presidential elections aren't going to stop that. Congress may be able to stop it by passing some sort of legislation that would reduce the capital gains and corporate taxes, which are egregious in this country, and start attracting businesses back because the business of government is business. But, you know, right now it's not very popular to make money. It's not very popular to have money. It's not very popular to be a successful business person because in the long run, they think you're screwing somebody.
Right.
So when somebody looks at me and says, what do we do about immigration? When somebody looks at me and says, what do we do about letting all of the Syrians into this country? I don't listen to the newspaper people because you know what? They're not responsible. I don't listen to, certainly don't listen to anybody that works in a university or an academic environment because you know what? They're not responsible. I don't listen to half of the politicians in the country because they're not responsible. You know who I listen to? I listen to the person who's responsible for that activity, and that's the director of the FBI. And what did he say? I can't vet these people. We need to fix the system. It's not working. So now all of a sudden, the person who is responsible for protecting us has said that the system doesn't work.
Yes, I did see that, Larkin.
The person responsible of protecting us on a state level is the governor. And what have they done? 34 of them have said if the FBI guy says we can't protect, then we're not going to do it. So let's start listening to people who are responsible for making our lives better, who are responsible for protecting us.
Well said, Larkin. Wow. And ladies and gentlemen, as we prepare on this day for Thanksgiving tomorrow, you are on the air with Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, Larkin Connolly, the regional vice president for SCORE. I'm Michael Blihash. And of course, our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. We all join in wishing you and yours a very, very happy Thanksgiving and remind you to please go out and look at labels when you're out shopping this weekend and throughout this holiday season. I want to just offer a few greetings from the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union. You can check them out on the internet by going to psfcu.com. Also, best wishes from everyone from the Sugar House Casino, located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. Visit them anytime at sugarhousecasino.com. And Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, and all of his staff wish you and yours a happy Thanksgiving, as does Mr. Chester Kshanovsky and his staff from Serena's Auto Body Shop, and everyone from the Net Cost Market and the PRCUA, Mr. Joseph Drobot, president, and Michael Steinman, attorney at law, joins along with Dr. Eva Machak, and also everyone from Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and the Polish American Travel Service, Giorgio Foods, Mr. Martin Bednarek, and everyone from Washington Savings Bank, Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, and also the good people of the Polish National Alliance, Mr. Frank Spula, president, want to wish all of you a very enjoyable Thanksgiving. I also would like to say once again that I encourage you to check out Mark Andel's site. You can go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on his symbol, Made in America store, or just click on his photo and you'll be able to go to that store as well. Also on the front page, we have Mike Sessions and Go for USA. And also I want to bring attention to the fact that we have some links on the front page which direct you to the great people from New Jersey that are promoting the jobs, Dream It, Do It. I did have an opportunity to see some of the videos that the boys and girls from that program put up, and they're very interesting. You can Google Dream It, Do It, and see some of those videos for yourself. Also, check out Manufacturer New Jersey, a link on the front page, and you'll see that our radio broadcast is also linked to that front page. And I would like to thank Mark Andel, because I did see a number of requests coming from your front page. Mark has American Workers Radio on the front page of his internet site. So, Mark, thank you for all that you're doing to promote American Made. Best wishes with all of your stores. You know, after the Christmas holiday, it's probably going to get rough in Buffalo. So I wish you the greatest end of the fourth quarter that you ever had. And my best wishes to you and yours for a very happy Thanksgiving. You know, guys, all of our national advertisers have been really pushing their Black Friday sales and their Small Business Saturday. And even some of them are pushing National Small Business Weekend, which was created by us on this broadcast. And I'm really pleased to say that they're doing that. But of course, they're not mentioning anything about American Made. So in my conversation with one advertising agency, he said to me, well, we're going to see what we can do to promote some more of the American businesses. And I said, yeah, well, I tell people all the time, we all have enough material needs in our homes and around us right now. There's no reason for Americans to stampede stores on Black Friday to save a few dollars on foreign items. So, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone that you'll be speaking with, urge everybody to take their time, look at labels, look at every way possible to support America's manufacturers and American workers who really need jobs to support themselves, pay the rising cost of daily living, health care, and also taxes. You know, big business is planning to do a tremendous job during the Christmas holiday. But whatever you do, look for those labels and spread that word to family and friends on Thanksgiving, Christmas, the New Year, whenever you're having a get-together, because America stores need us. You know what I was thinking also when I talked to that advertiser? I thought of you, Mark, and I thought of you, Larkin, too, and Rich with that cowboy hat. I said it would be good if we could have a meeting and get some of the major business owners from American producers to stampede Washington, to go to the national leaders to demand that we want a reduction in the federal income tax so that we don't have another Pfizer and all the others that are moving out and hopefully not Roaring Springs Paper Company to the degree that they were planning. Let's see what we can do to maybe hold back on some of that. Sorry, I got a little long-winded. Larkin, what else is happening in the score line?
We're very quietly sneaking into the holiday season, but we continue to do everything that we can to help small businesses, not only existing businesses grow their business, but also individuals. It still is probably the more popular client than we see individuals who want to consider starting businesses. So we counsel a lot of those, and we counsel an awful lot of Mark Andels, successful business people who like. And you know, the thing about SCORE that I like the most and really keeps me engaged is that everybody has a mentor and everybody needs a mentor, and short of a relative or a friend, and sometimes your friends even have an agenda. The SCORE mentor is really a special person to people looking to get into business or people trying to grow a business, because that SCORE mentor has virtually no agenda except that individual's success. I mean, if you use your attorney, he's charging you so much an hour and so much a word, so to speak. so is your accountant. There are a lot of people that live off of small business people that we support, many cottage industries in the country. But in the realm of genuine advice and thinking through issues and problems, a SCORE mentor is always really, really great. And if we don't have somebody locally, we have somebody amongst our 11,000 mentors who can help. And my favorite story to that end is having a guy that came to me that wanted to start a meatpacking business, and there's not a lot I could do to, you know, the essential basics of business, but I had to go find him another mentor, and the only one I could find in the SCORE world was the current chief executive officer of Omaha Beef. So I think the guy got some pretty good advice.
Very, very good. You know, Larkin, everybody I talk to, you know, in business, I always bring up SCORE that I didn't know that it existed 30 years ago when I started business, and I wished I did. And I tell them, you know, the great job you're doing, and it's free, great advice. So I don't know if you get calls directly or if you get calls here. But, you know, one thing, just coming back from the bank this morning, signing my life away for two more vehicles, you know, I'm very used to that. But capital, when you talk about these new businesses or you met a lot of Mark Handels, you know, we know and you know, Larkin and Rich, you know, capital, you need that money. You need capital to keep rolling. You need the cash flow, which is the blood of business. And people just don't realize how hard it is with banks. Us entrepreneurs are risk takers, and we're treated like a stepchild. It's very, very difficult to get money or raise money. And I did go with a community bank recently, and I think it was a great move. They're a lot more not only friendly, but they understand more. The people I'm meeting in the upper places are people that had businesses or knew of people that had businesses. So it's a different climate and environment for me, and I highly suggest, and I think, Clark, and you suggested, that I go to a community bank. But if you can't raise capital one way or another, you're going to die. And that's a big part of starting a business.
What people don't understand in the early goings is if I buy a bunch of steel and I make a widget and I sell the widget for a profit, what do you mean I need cash? Why do I need cash? I buy it for a buck, I sell it for two, I've got a dollar in the bank, and I keep on working. And
the government takes 50%.
Well, what happens if the guy that's selling you the steel wants paid up front? And you don't get any credit, but your customers do want credit. So, sure, you're making a profit, but unfortunately, the money that you would consider profit is sitting in your customer's bank account because they're not paying you as fast as the cash flow demands in order to support the company. So people just don't understand that. And then there's the issue of wanting to, you know, to invest capital to buy new trucks, new machines, additional equipment, hire new people. And, you know, that takes cash. So the number one reason businesses go out, unfortunately, is they run out of cash. They run out of money.
And, Larkin, as you travel around, you see a number of the stores that are closed, whether they're in the malls or bigger shopping areas. And that's not what we're supposed to be. I know that there are a tremendous amount of stores, but we have a tremendous population, 322 million people in the country. We only have 149 million people in the total workforce. And that's a lot of people that are working. 24 million of them represent the United States government or local government. So when you looked at the situation, taking out the government people, America needs at least another 40 million jobs to break even, that we have at least some people with a steady job and no dependency upon government. Now, some people say to me, I agree with what you're saying, but it's very tough to find a reasonable job and pay health care and everything else. I say, yes, you're right. And I said, in those cases, if someone needs some government assistance to supplement what they're earning until they're able to get up the ladder of success, that's fine. I agree with that type of government assistance 1,000%. But what I don't agree with is letting our jobs leave America and then people have to depend on government just to get by.
You know, it's all this being part of, as Rich, I'm sorry you missed last week, a part of my pragmatic party. And you have to be a pragmatist to be in my pragmatic party. And the first thing that the pragmatic party is going to do is that it's going to make Congress and Senate and all federal employees are going to be taken. They're going to lose their health care entitlements, and they're going to lose this annuity that they get, you know, full salary every year for the remainder of their life. That goes away. And they're going to have to get on the same system that you and I are on. And that is health care, you know, commonplace free market health care and Social Security. And you put that in there, in that position, and see how fast both of those systems get fixed.
You know, Al, you're just mentioning that, Larkin. That's very interesting, because the newly elected Councilman Alan Dom is donating his full, because he has his own business, he is donating his full salary to the school system, which I like. And by the way, Alan Dom asked me to wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving. And of course, please go out and support American Made and our local businesses, because they really need us at this time of year.
Larkin, I want to say you really inspired me this week. And how you did that was the picture that you text me of your granddaughter in an Amazing America shirt. And I'm telling you, I'm serious how you inspired me, because that's what we do. You know, every week we have this hour show. That's what we do in life. We're talking to everybody, Rich, you in Nashville, and Mike every day. And that's what it's all about, our children's future. By the way, beautiful girl, and boy, she looks good in that shirt. And any shirt you need, you let me know.
I appreciate it, yeah.
Beautiful picture.
My daughter sent me that picture, and she knew that it would hit me right between the eyes. What she didn't know is that I was going to pass it to you and it would do the same thing.
I'm not sure where to write the check for royalties to, but you let me know.
Well, Larkin, I got to tell you, cute kid, and as I always say, all of my friends' kids all like me. It's just my own kids who are going to hate me. So
I'm not sure.
I want to mention quick note to you guys. I got a text from one of our listeners regularly in South Carolina. He just texted me, and he said the best rants in the business, talking about our show. And I texted him back. I said, Charles, I think we solved one world problem today. Only 499 more to go.
You know, guys, I hate to say this, but it's almost time for us to say goodbye. So I'm going to ask each one of you to offer our listeners a Thanksgiving message. We'll start off with Mark.
I just want to say, you know, have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family and friends. I'm going to have some Jack and Coke. You know, Jack is 100% made in America, so I hope all you do. Panel members, God bless you. Have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy yourself. Eat too much, okay? It's the day to do it.
American made. Okay, Larkin?
Yeah, mine, Mark, is Tito's and Tonic, and Tito's is made in Austin, Texas.
Excellent.
So I'm all American in that respect. I'm surrounded by my family, and I'm very, very thankful. I tell myself every morning when I get up, what I want, I already have.
Thank you. Very well said. And Rich?
Guys, I want to just say to our listeners, to everybody, thank you for having me on, for letting me be a part of the show. I'm going to be with my wife, who came from Poland as an immigrant. Today she is an American citizen. She embodies exactly what the pursuit of that happiness is that we talk about. So, guys, thanks so much, and thank you to our listeners. Until next week, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you all. Don't forget, shop American, buy American, and more American jobs will be created. And in behalf of all of us in the Blehash family, in behalf of all of the people in the Chaplinsky family, have a great Thanksgiving.
Henry, can you put Rich on a horse with that cowboy hat on the website for us, please?
I want Mr. Ed.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thanks, everyone. Okay.